This summer, for our staff, we have emphasized certain themes, the themes of consecration, devotion, and service. In our devotional book, which comes from Kept for the Master's Use by Francis Ridley Havergal, the readings are excerpts, as I said, from her last book, her most read book. She wrote, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee," on February 4th, 1874. The Lord had just used her in a wonderful way. She was in a home, perhaps you've all heard the story, but she was in a home for a week of rest with other guests, one of these large English homes, I guess, in the countryside. And as a guest in that home, she prayed that the Lord would give her the opportunity to reach out to all of the other guests, whom she did not know personally yet. They were going to be there, I believe, for a week. And a week or two. Can't remember the details exactly, but during that time, God answered her prayer. And she really wrote this song, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee," as a praise to God. Thank you so much for using me as you did in these days. And now I just give myself to you afresh and anew, that it may always be that I am your servant, your handmaiden, I guess she would have been, right? Anyway, the story goes that she had opportunity to speak to them, and they responded, except for two. And they were two sisters, and they were the daughters of the house, the owners, the hosts, I guess, innkeepers, or whatever it was. And they had not yet responded. And she just was thanking the Lord that evening and praying for them. She had spoken to them. They were holding out, I guess. And during the night, she was called by one of the servants. "Come. Come to this girl's room. She's under conviction. She's calling for you." And she came and led that girl to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then her sister came as well. And when she went back to her room, her heart was so filled with thanksgiving. I believe this was written about 5 a.m., so that's a good time, isn't it, to be looking to the Lord and rejoicing in Him and communing with Him. Some people get up early to pray. She hadn't, I don't think she had gone to bed yet. That's more like me. Anyway, and some of you, I think. But it says here that the popularity of this song prompted her to rethink her poem. And for this book, for this devotional book, she substituted "keep" for "take" when she wrote these meditations on each of the hymn's couplets, which she revised with the word "keep" instead of "take," to encourage Christians to understand and realize that God not only accepted them. Last night we sang that song that you mentioned that you liked, "All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give." Jesus doesn't only take our lives, God accepts what we give to Him, but He wants to keep our consecrated lives. I believe He wants to deepen our devotion to Him and maintain that consecration. And so that was the prayer in this devotional book that we've had before us this summer, Kept for the Master's Use. It was published after she died, and since it was associated with her best-known hymn, this was the most popular of her many devotional books. We've been going through this each period, taking one for each day. It worked out so well. There were 13 chapters in the book, and we have two-week periods, and so we were able to go through. And I decided to go through it even now, even though it's not one of our regular four periods. Our youth conference ended on Wednesday, and I started on Wednesday, and I figured out there were 13 days till Labor Day. So today I was on day five, I wonder if anybody looked at it. It was Sunday, right? We took a day of rest. No, we looked at it. Oh, good. And it said, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Maybe that's why you've been singing, I think, a little better today. Thank you. You read it. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Or keep my voice that I may sing always only for my King. Now, for this reading, we have just a poem that she wrote. She was a great poet. We sing many of her songs. In fact, we sang one this morning. Who is on the Lord's side? And we sing, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. And maybe a song that you love to sing, if you look at the top, you'll see, oh, Frances Havergal, she wrote this one too. She wrote a lot of our hymns that we use. But here's a song that we don't sing from the songbook, and it's all about singing. Singing for Jesus. And since we do a lot of singing in our meetings, I just thought I'd read this to you. Singing for Jesus, our Savior and King. Singing for Jesus, the Lord whom we love. All adoration we joyously bring, longing to praise as they praise Him above. Singing for Jesus, our Master and Friend, telling His love and His marvelous grace, love from eternity, love to the end, love for the loveless, the sinful and base. Singing for Jesus and trying to win many to love Him and join in the song, calling the weary and wandering in, rolling the chorus of gladness along. Singing for Jesus, our life and our light. Singing for Him as we press to the mark. Singing for Him when the morning is bright. Singing, still singing for Him in the dark. Singing for Jesus, our Shepherd and Guide. Singing for gladness of heart that He gives. Singing for wonder and praise that He died. Singing for blessing and joy that He lives. Singing for Jesus, oh, singing with joy. Thus will we praise Him and tell out His love, till He shall call us to brighter employ, singing for Jesus forever above. Keep my voice and let me sing always only for my King. That was for those who hadn't had a chance to read it yet. Some of you don't have this book. I just thought we all ought to share in it this evening. Our voices kept for Jesus, and singing for Him, singing the song that He gave us to sing, the new song that He put into our hearts, praise unto our God. Many shall hear it, says there in Psalm 40. And when they hear it, there will be an effect in their lives. They'll trust in the Lord. They'll fear before Him. And trust in Him. If you sing your song of praise to Him and holy adoration, sing that song, that sweet song of salvation. I was singing that earlier this summer with someone who came from my era. I said, remember Larry Norman? And they laughed and they said, yes, sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation. Let your laughter fill the air. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation and tell the people everywhere. Remember that? When you know a wonderful secret, you tell it to your friends and you tell them that a lifetime filled with Jesus is like what? See if Heidi remembers that. It's like a street that never ends. Oh, yeah? Oh, so it's been revived. Okay. Anyway, I'm going way back. But we sing the song that he gave us to sing. And it sounds forth, it sounds good because He put it in our hearts. It seems from Frances Havergal's poem that we're really right now just practicing. You know, it's our choir practice for when we get there. And we join the heavenly choir and we'll sing as we've never sung before. Worthy, worthy. We sang, was it this morning? Oh, could I speak His matchless worth. Could I sound the glories forth that in my Savior shine? It says I'd vie with Gabriel. But you know, we have a better song to sing than he can sing, because we have the experience of salvation. We're sinners saved by grace. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. Worthy. I'm sure they'll join in that chorus too. They'll know something about it, of course, but they don't know it by experience, what it means to be lifted out of the miry clay and to have your feet set on a rock and to be filled with praise unto God. Well, they're singing, and they're a good example for us in that song. It says their voices are, or their sweet harps are ever tuneful, and their voices sweet and clear. Oh, that we might be more like them as we serve the Master here. But to sing redemption's story, oh, throughout all the ages, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all of our praise, all honor and glory to King Jesus, our Savior. Singing for Him. 35 in the white books. Let's stand as we sing. Maybe one of you musicians will help me to know. I know you're a musician too. There are these sideways V's on three of the notes, or greater than, I don't know what it is, but you see those little marks come to a point there. What does that mean? Should we do something different with those notes? Or should we hit them hard or a little accent maybe? I'm guessing. So let's do it. Those words lend themselves to that. I'll love him. I'll serve him with all that I have. And if I'm wrong, you can tell me after meeting, but okay. For mercy so great, what return?
Of God beyond degree.
higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I think Sister Tessie must have gotten the message that I was trying to bring. I was quoting from Psalm 107, King James Version. And there it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so what?" Oh no, I quoted it wrong, right? But she heard me say that. That's what it seems like sometimes. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so what?" That they are redeemed? Yes, of course they should say that. But if you look in another translation, you'll see that it means, say so means speak thus or speak thusly if you're a purist. Let them speak in this manner and say these things. Let them give thanks, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That should fill our hearts and our mouths. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak this way. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And then, of course, this song tells us to react in this way to his mercy, to love him who first loved us, and give our all to him who gave himself for us and gives himself to us. What a wonderful thing that is.